My name is Jeremy Africa, and as the lead pastor of Midland First, and on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship this morning, we welcome you, whether you are here in our sanctuary, joining us on our live stream, perhaps listening to us on the radio here on Sunday morning, or joining us later in the week on MCTV. We're grateful for this opportunity to worship together as the church. As we step into worship this morning, we do have a number of announcements that we'd like to highlight for you. These are opportunities to join in the church's life and in the church's mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And so for our first announcement, I'll hand things over to Gabrielle Cook-McElvenna, who serves as our music director, with an announcement about our upcoming Great Day of Music. Gabrielle?
The tradition of having the Great Day of Music here at Midland First. This is a tradition I am told that has been going on for how many? 40? Forever. We'll go with forever. This year our theme is the journey, and so we encourage you to come and be ready to reflect on your spiritual journey, where you have been, where you are going, where you would like to be, and where God is calling you to be. This will be November 3rd. At 10 o'clock, we will have one combined service, and you will have the enjoyment of being able to listen to all of our music groups participate in this service. So we invite you to come, bring your family and friends, invite your neighbors, and invite those that you come into contact with between now and then. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. I always understood that an organist had to have quick feet on the pedals, but evidently Gabrielle is proving that it comes in handy in other ways. Next, I want to invite Robin Stottlemyre, who is a member of our mission team and congregation, to share about a presentation this afternoon. Robin?
Good morning. I'm Robin Stottlemyre. Today, my kids and I brought an extra guest to church today. Everyone meet Tuko, an elephant from Muko, Uganda. For the past 5 years, I've been volunteering with this organization called ACT Uganda. ACT is a local nonprofit based here in Midland. It supports community development in a rural town of Muko, Uganda. And when I say rural, I mean really rural, like the middle of nowhere in Uganda. ACT has grown over the past 20 years to include an agriculture program, a merit-based scholarship program for high school kids and middle school. We have social businesses, a music program, and a health promotion program called HEAL, which is the program that I lead. So today at 3 o'clock, Sue Wachter and I and Tuko will be sharing more about ACT Uganda and the HEAL program in the parlor, which is that room behind our fearless tech support back there. So ACT is relatively new to Midland First, but it's not new to Midland, so you may have heard of it through the years. We've been here since 2003. So I'll be honest, I absolutely love volunteering with ACT Uganda. I've spent 5 years working with our Ugandan staff over Zoom, advising them and connecting with them in a way that pushes our own culture and comfort zones. It's enriching in ways I never expected it to be. I can't tell you how bizarre it is to open a laptop, travel to Uganda, feel like you're actually there, and deal with problems, and then shut it and just immediately go back to my life here in Midland. It's surreal. We have a terrific staff that I'm so proud of, and I love getting to show off their accomplishments. This afternoon's presentation is full of pictures and stories, and I really think it'll fill you with hope and inspiration. So whatever you're doing at 3 o'clock this afternoon, cancel it. You don't need to rake those leaves, it's fine. come listen to, if you're passionate about global public health, come listen if you want to be inspired by fellow Christians doing amazing things on the other side of the world, or just come listen if you're curious about what an average day is like for women and kids and men in rural Uganda. Things have changed. It's not probably what you imagined it was a couple of decades ago. So again, 3 p.m. today in the parlor, we'll present for 30 minutes. With questions after. So please come join me and Tuko so we don't feel lonely and learn about all the incredible work we've been doing.
Tuko and Robin, thank you for providing that opportunity and hope you might take that time just to hear how God is doing a good work here in the church and stretching it over to Uganda. So thank you, Robin. Appreciate that. I myself have several announcements, but I'm going to wait until Hillary is able to share her announcement.
Thank you.
See how smooth that was? Hillary has an... Yes, Hillary.
Well, this is really just a quick mention that next Sunday is Trunk or Treat. The youth-inspired event will be from 5 to 7 on October 27th in the parking lot. We will be joined by Young Lives and Girl Scouts this year. There will be s'mores and games as well as Trunk or Treating. We are accepting donations of candy, as our leftovers will be going to Central Park for their trunk or treat. Oh, and kids, you may wear your costumes to church that morning. It's going to be a fun day. And to the congregation, we are thrilled with the orders we are getting for the roll bank. And thank you, but I need to remind everybody to go all the way to the bottom of the envelope and let us know if you're picking up on Saturday or Sunday. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Hillary, for those reminders and announcement regarding our upcoming trunk or treat. You can drop those candy donations off at the pastor's office. I believe it's in the hallway, yes? The office corridor hallway. Thank you for supporting our youth, Trunk or Treat. All right. I do want to highlight some announcements myself. The first being the beginning of our 2025 stewardship campaign today. It will span for several weeks, including Commitment Sunday. This is the day in which we invite those who wish to present their pledge cards as an act of worship during the service. And that will be Sunday, November 17th. And also as part of our stewardship campaign, we will have our day of service, which will be on November 10th. You can see your e-blast for what that morning will look like. But as a reminder, that's when our time in worship will be primarily through an act of service featuring our rice packing event. That's on Sunday, November 10th. As of yesterday, we have 54 of 75 slots filled for the first shift and 20 of 75 slots filled for the second shift. So I invite you to give yourselves a hand for making that happen already. But if you haven't signed up already, this is a wonderful opportunity to live into mission as a work and as an act of worship. There's a link in the e-blast, or you can also sign up by calling the church office. If you haven't already, encourage you to do so that you might be a part of that day of service on November 10th, wherein we pack rice for those who are in need. The purpose of a stewardship campaign this year and every year is to create space in our life as a church wherein we might reflect on our giving for the coming year, how we might support and participate in the life of the church through our prayers, through our presence, through our gifts, our service, and witness. This year's theme for the stewardship campaign is our church's mission statement, helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And so we'll really lean into what that means. Much thanks to Julie Edwards, Sarah Bates, and Denise Link, who have made the banners behind us and allowed us to visually communicate this year's theme. So as we step into worship today and in the coming weeks, let us be mindful of our stewardship campaign and even more so, our church's mission. Last announcement this morning is that we will be conducting, as scheduled, our church's annual fire drill today. And so the drill will be in between the prayer of dedication, which is the prayer after the doxology, and before the scripture reading. During the drill, those of us in the sanctuary will remain in place throughout the drill. Our children in Sunday school will be escorted by their teachers to their designated area on Fitzhugh and Larkin, allowing them to have an opportunity to practice the drill. In your bulletin, on your bulletin insert today, you will find the actual procedure if this were a true alarm or actual alarm. For that, parents of children in the nursery would first exit the sanctuary using the poolside front exit to pick up their children in the nursery and head out of the building. Those who are remaining in the sanctuary would exit using the rear exits and onto Main Street. And our children would be escorted again to their designated area on the corner of Fitzhugh and Larkin, wherein we invite the parents of the children to walk down Fitzhugh and pick up their children. So we thank you today for your cooperation. And in the event of an actual alarm, I will note that you might be prepared today that with the updated alarm system, there will be flashing lights and there will be sirens that are louder than we are accustomed to in our previous alarm. And so just be mindful of that as we run our drill. One final note before we do start our service as well. A big thank you to our AV team today. As many of you know, we are upgrading our sound system here in the sanctuary, and our current sound system has decided that it is not going to go without a fight. So it is not working this morning. And so our AV team, as Kevin is already doing right now, has been scrambling to put in place our contingency. And so much thanks to our AV team, to Kevin, and to Brian, to Dennis downstairs, and to all who help with this every Sunday morning. Thank you for making this possible. Absolutely. So with all this, we are stepping into a time of worship. And so I invite you, if you're here in the sanctuary, to stand, to greet one another, and Lily will bring us back together as our bell ringer this morning.
Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 1, 2, 3. Get.
I invite you to stand. Let us join one another in our opening hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. You'll find it on page 577 of our hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
To worship. The words are also in your bulletin. God is faithful. He has given us the gracious gift of Christ Jesus and the wisdom and knowledge to grow in him through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let us rejoice. And lean in. Use our gifts to build up the body of Christ and proclaim the good news that God loves us and sent his Son to set us free from sin.
The children could
come forward, please. Good to see everybody this morning.
Okay. This morning we are going to study James and John in Sunday school. They learned we don't have to be sitting right next to Jesus to be with him. We each have a special place with Jesus. And maybe the best place to be close to Jesus is when we are serving those he loves. Let us pray. Dear God, we want to love you. We want to be your special servants. Teach us how to care for each other. Help us serve in your name. Amen.
As we come to a time of offering this morning, we want to take a moment to let you know that October 23rd, which is this coming week, will commemorate the 75th anniversary of when the cornerstone of this building was laid. As we offer our gifts, our financial gifts this morning, we also invite you to offer praise to God for his faithfulness to us. Jesus Christ is our spiritual cornerstone and the reason for all the good gifts that we have. And so we invite you to offer praise for that this morning and for all that the Lord has done here.
I should be thankful, Lord, I know I should. Lord,
God, we thank you so much for every good gift that you give us. You are the giver of every good gift. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We pray that you use these to further your kingdom and to build it up and to glorify yourself. We love you and we thank you so much. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Fire drill. As a reminder, we are to remain in place here in the sanctuary as our Sunday school children are escorted to their designated pickup area outside with their teachers and helpers. And so let us prepare as our drill begins. I thought they would be louder. Lots of wires were run and connected. I trust that our building team is working on running that drill. Shh. I would invite you to enter into a practice of mindfulness, but not so easy with an alarm. So, well, it appears like we are done. I'm told that this is a bit softer than when the actual alarm is run. So appreciate our building team helping us this morning. With all this, let's return to our spirit of worship as Pastor Bethany leads us in our scripture reading this morning.
I invite you to open your Bibles or your Bible app if you would like.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. If you'd like to read along in your pew Bible, it is on page 155. In the New Testament. And today I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he's given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just in an effort to cut down any church chatter this week. If you think it's a coincidence that we run the fire drill the first Sunday of stewardship campaign, so we're all a little bit more awake, just mere coincidence. We have more than enough, said no pastor worth their salt, to begin a stewardship campaign. In fact, I'm very mindful of where the chairs of our accounting team and endowment team are sitting, and I'm choosing not to look at them right now. But I'll say it again. We have more than enough. I'm not alluding to the overwhelming generosity of our saints who have gone before us, whose financial gifts make up the principal of the church's endowment fund. Nor am I taking for granted the faithful stewardship and leadership of our endowment team or of our accounting team. Least of all, I don't want to insinuate for a moment to you, our present-day congregation, that your giving back to God through the church doesn't matter. Indeed, it does. Whether you are giving to the church through your prayers here on Sunday morning or throughout the week, whether you are pouring in your presence, your very being, your time here or beyond in the community, whether you are sharing your presence with the church, whether it is through your gifts financially or spiritually, whether it is through your service, your outreach, whether it is in your witness of Jesus Christ, all of this matters. All of this contributes to our being a church that shares in the mission of helping people, of helping one another, and to helping those beyond the church to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. I invite you to share in saying our mission with me this morning. Our mission at Midland First is to help people know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And like many of you, I'm grateful for the resources, for the means we have to share in God's work as the church. Like many of you, I take none of this for granted. But even so, I'll say it again. We have more than enough. And I make this claim, and I have such confidence based on how the Apostle Paul greets the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, the scripture reading that Pastor Bethany read for us this morning. Having started it, Paul is familiar with the church that he is writing to here in Corinth. And back in Paul's day, back in that day, Corinth was a busy city filled with commerce and cultural diversity, but it was also known for its immoral ways. And with this backdrop, Paul greets the church by writing them, "I always thank my God for you, you being the church, and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus." And here's the part I really want us to hear this morning. Paul writes, through him, through Christ Jesus, God has enriched your church in every way. Through Christ Jesus, God has enriched your church in every way. And for Paul, God's enrichment, God's equipping, God's abundantly supplying of the church is proof positive that what Paul is teaching the church and what Paul writes in the rest of this letter is true. Referring to how God has given the church every spiritual need, every needed spiritual gift, Paul contends that it is Christ who strengthens us. That it is Christ who strengthens the church. And it is God who is faithful. And so based on this and this alone, I'll say again, that as a church today, we have more than enough. But perhaps we might argue, or perhaps one might argue, that while this is all well and good, the reality is this isn't true for the church today. After all, the Apostle Paul himself planted the church that he's writing to. It was the most prolific author of the New Testament who started this church in Corinth. So perhaps something has been lost through the ages. Perhaps something has been lost on the church today where we can't say with such boldness or with such confidence that we have more than enough. The fact is that the church in Corinth struggled much like many of our churches today. Their church was less than perfect. The people in Corinth struggled with division within the church. The church in Corinth fought over what would be permissible and what is not. The church in Corinth struggled with how to worship, and they struggled so much that they needed to be reminded that love is the most excellent way. Does any of this sound familiar to our churches today? But even so, Paul wrote back then, and I would argue the same is true today, that through Christ Jesus, God has enriched your church our church in every way. Here's why, in my mind, all this matters. Here's why I can't let go of the idea that we have more than enough. Here's why I am so excited by the idea that we have more than enough, that if our sound system wasn't working, as someone suggested, I might take a poster board and roll it up to proclaim this message. Because if through Jesus Christ, God has enriched our church. Because if through Jesus Christ, God is strengthening us to do even more than we might ask or imagine. Because if through Jesus Christ, God has given us every spiritual gift we need as we eagerly wait for Christ's return. If all this is so, then it appears that we ought to shift our mindset in the church today. That we ought to shift our mindset, our very spirit, from one of scarcity to abundance, from a mindset of difficulty to opportunity, from a mindset of perpetuation to purpose. This is why I can't let go of the idea that as the church today, we have more than enough. And so for the next 3 weeks, with our great day of music between the second and third Sundays, we'll focus on our church's mission statement, helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. Having been enriched for our work and life together as a church, it is vital that we know our purpose, that we know our why. Like many of you, I've encountered a few forks in the road wherein knowing my why mattered, wherein knowing my purpose was crucial. One such time was when my son Andrew was born. As some of you know, Andrew was born 3 months early, 28 weeks into Cara's pregnancy. And so Andrew spent the next 59 days in the neonatal intensive care unit at Hurley Medical Center in Flint, roughly 20 minutes from our home in Goodrich. And even though Andrew was frightfully small and frail at the time, having weighed less than 3 pounds at his birth, this is a picture of Andrew in my hand the day after his birth. Even though Andrew was frightfully small and frail, I remember telling Cara a day or two into our journey as a family that I was done praying for our son's survival. Whether this was the Holy Spirit or a form of denial on my part, I'll let you decide for yourself. All I know is that I was convinced and I was at peace that our son would prevail over whatever had been dealt our way. And so, believing we had more than enough, I replaced my prayers for Andrew's survival with two simple other prayers. That God would help him to love God, and that God would help him to love God's people. Because I knew back then what I know today, that being a preacher's kid isn't easy. We have solidarity. But being a preacher's kid isn't easy. Being a pastor's kid isn't easy. And it doesn't make it easy to love God, to love God's people, to love the church. And so that day I started to pray, God, help Andrew to love you, to love your people. In fact, on most days, even now, when Cara and Andrew walk out the door and I send them off to school, through all our morning shenanigans, I'm still praying the same prayer. God, help Andrew to love you and to love your people. Because knowing that in so many ways, by God's grace, as a family, we have more than enough, purpose matters. Knowing our why matters. In other words, I don't want to get stuck. I don't want to fixate my prayers for my son on the ground level of what is possible in his life, all the while knowing that God is able and willing to raise the roof on any dream that I might have for my son. And so knowing our why matters. Knowing our purpose matters. And so, at Midland First, as this church today, what is our why? What is it that we are aspiring to be and to do together? What is our mindset when we take the time to look at ourselves in the mirror? What is our mindset when we gather together with our ministry teams, in our leadership committees? What is our mindset when we talk with one another in the hallways and in the parking lot and in our homes and in our neighborhoods? What is our mindset when we come across others in our lives, be it our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, who we know can use the truth, the grace that we encounter in this church? What is our mindset? Is it one of scarcity, or one that focuses on difficulties or merely perpetuating the life of the church? Or have we found the courage to take on a mindset of abundance and of opportunity and of purpose? What would it look like for us to lean even more into our collective mission as a church of helping people to know and to love and to share Jesus Christ? All these questions are worth our consideration, knowing that through Jesus Christ, God has enriched our church in every way. May we live into that abundance. Amen. Amen. I invite us into a spirit of prayer as we join together in our prayers this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are exactly this. Almighty and faithful. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have revealed to us your love for us. And the power of this love and grace. Indeed, Lord, it is through your very power that raised your Son from the dead. It is this power that rests in your church today. It is your power that reveals these truths to us still today through the Holy Spirit. And yet, Lord, we confess that at times when we make it through our day, that at times when we walk together as the church, we get overwhelmed. We get stuck. We might even get discouraged by the challenges that we face. By a mindset that is afraid that we might not have enough. By a mindset that perhaps the church's greatest days are behind us. And yet, O Lord, you are reminding us again this morning that through Jesus Christ, we have more than enough. And Lord, we might even just look back into our life as a congregation, and we might imagine what it might have been like to be in attendance when the cornerstone of this church building was laid. And we just might imagine how overwhelming that might have felt. We might imagine that there might have been some of the saints among us wondering, do we have enough? And yet, O Lord, in commemorating that occasion, in thinking back to the faithful life of this congregation through Jesus Christ our Lord, we're reminded again this morning that we have more than enough. And we give you thanks. Lord, help us to carry this mindset into our lives. Help us to know that whatever challenge we are facing, whatever fear of scarcity is upon us, whatever doubt we might have in you, remind us, O Lord, of the power of your grace, your power to heal relationships, your power to break free from the chains of sin, your power to live into the power that has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We pray this for one another. We pray this for the work of the church in your community. We pray this for the building of your kingdom in our nation. And indeed, we pray this for the coming of your kingdom around all the world. And so we pray, Lord, that you would hear us this morning. That you might continue the work that you are doing. And that you might even be beginning a new work in us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, I invite you to stand as you are able. We will be singing Forward Through the Ages, found on page 555 of our hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Thank you.
wrong idea of me as a dad, as a parent. There are times when I find being a parent overwhelming. Like this past Friday, we're at the Fall Festival, and I'm overwhelmed, and I'm like, God, have you given me enough to make it through this night? But there are moments, many moments throughout the day and in the morning where I'm reminded, you have more than enough. And that's true here. You know, there are times where I'm learning, I'm sitting in committees, and I'm like, God, do we have what we need? And then we gather for worship. And I hear this holy chatter. Or the bells proclaim God's name through music. Or I listen to our children head to Sunday school. And I know they're being nurtured in their faith. And I'm reminded that we have more than enough. Amen. Amen.